It's really interesting at the moment at how different and how strange everything feels. And I know that a lot of people have gone through this, navigating life. When I think about my life, you know, a year ago, maybe just over a year, maybe let's say at the end of 2023, I think about what my life was like. And I find myself in such a weird space now, kind of getting to know myself in this version that I am. I went on a bit of a dating spree, I guess you could call it, at the end of last year, and really wanted to just explore parts of myself that had been under lock and key while I was married. And I think a really big discovery for me was that men find me attractive, or they find me easy to talk to, or they wanted to sleep with me, or they, you know, wanted to get to know me. And that's no reflection on who I was married to. That is just, you know, my internal dialogue, I think, from such a young age of never being good enough, or always living in someone else's shadow, or being overlooked, or, you know, being the funny friend. Which is funny because it's like I've never had a problem getting men. I've never had a problem connecting with them. But it's always been sort of just like a, like I'm done. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain that. It's sort of, it's fun, and then I get bored and I sort of tap out. And then obviously I got married, and then I got divorced, and then I, you know, started playing around again, and it all just sort of ended up being very much like a, I know not every, some people might feel the same way. It's sort of, I really enjoy the hunt and the chase and that initial part of a connection. And then I had something with someone that was intense and brief, and it knocked me really, really hard. It leveled me. And like, I cried every day for like 10 days afterwards for someone that I had only briefly had an interaction with for, you know, 5 weeks. I don't even know if it, for about that long. And then after that knocked me, it was like all of that self-assurity, and I guess that arrogance, and that, you know, I'm hot shit kind of came crashing down. It kind of slowed me up a bit, because instead of just finding, conquering and moving on, I had actually let down my guard a little bit, and I had let someone in, and it just wasn't right. It wasn't right. And, you know, I don't blame that solely on him. I blame that on me too. But it took me, you know, a little while to work that out and to be reflective about how my energy was so focused outwardly, and I was far more concerned about whether he liked me as opposed to I even liked him, or whether I liked the situation, or whether there really was a future, and all those questions that I have to ask myself, I just never did. And now I find myself in this current situation, which I just worked out has been going for a month, and it is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And I'm finding myself very cautious, holding back, which is kind of unlike me, very mindful, very aware, very thinking about, but not overly stressing myself, but thinking about how something that I may have previously done in the past, maybe that isn't a good idea, maybe I should just wait, maybe I should just not be as full on. I mean, I'm always going to be full on, I'm always going to be intense. I think, as you know, some women, we just are. But I've really channeled my energy into speaking up and being calm and being rational and thinking about things and not overreacting, which is very unlike me, and verbalizing boundaries. And you know, it occurred to me today that I'm 100% broken in the intimacy department, and I was all through my marriage, and I was pre my marriage, and I was post my marriage. Like, I didn't really realize how broken I was. You know, I had this conversation about the fact that I'm kind of every man's dream girl, because I think I'm really good at letting them project onto me what they want. And because I've shut that part of myself down and kind of locked it away, it's like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter what I want. I don't really know what I want. So let's just go have fun. And then I just move on to the next one and the next one and the next one. But now I'm in this situation where, for once, I can't see where it goes, I can't see the speed at which it goes, I can't see anything, and I feel like there's these panic moments that I have where I can feel myself sabotage pulling at me so hard, and it is just screaming in my head that I'm not good enough, that this is all going to turn to shit, that I'm going to get punted at any minute, that I'm just being used, that it's all, you know, too easy and it's too good to be true. And it's really funny that usually when that sort of stuff would come up, I would go outward and I would try and, you know, when you've been through trauma, there's a filter in the way that you see the world, and there's hyper and hypo, and I would always think that I had to be useful to someone to be loved or to be cherished or to be liked. You know, I really had to push that side of me, and I'm finding that I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm going inward, and I'm going, maybe don't do that, maybe don't fuck this one up, maybe just breathe, maybe be rational about it, maybe pull yourself to fucking together, because no matter what happens, I'm not in control here, and I'm letting it unfold the way it should do, which I've never done before in my life. And I'm finding it, yeah, really confronting. Welcome to Voice Notes from Your Bestie with me, Jess, aka Your Bestie. You know, it's really interesting. This podcast is not supposed to be about relationships. It's just about kind of what I'm going through at the moment. And it just happens to be that I'm going through, I guess, for lack of a better term, a relationship or a connection, of however you want to describe it. After the podcast with Russell last week, it is incredible how different I feel even in a week. As you heard from my voice note that started this episode, I have been trying to work out, I guess, for, again, lack of a better term, my self-sabotage behavior, and how I think I've started to realize that some of my more hyper wanting to be useful, always have to push my energy externally, be that manic pixie, dream girl, all guys just want to fuck me, you know, person, woman, really has just been filling a void that I didn't realize I had until probably the last hour or so. And, you know, I think about all the different men that I've been with, and I'm going to say even just from when my marriage ended, and how I so badly wanted to fill a void that I thought one of them could solve, but I didn't know I was doing that at the time. And then when that initial rush would fall away, or when I'd get them, or when I'd conquer them, I'd sort of move on to the next one because I wasn't fulfilled, I wasn't satisfied. In many ways, physically, sexually, emotionally, spiritually. So I really had no problem with rejection. And that was until that one connection really leveled me last year. And it was very short-lived. And it was the first time that I had let my walls down to someone new. And I swore to myself that I wasn't going to let that happen again, because I hadn't let it happen up until that point. Please remember, I'm discounting my marriage out of this. Again, that is a story that is long, and, you know, 15, 16, 17 years. And of course, now it's a relationship that's ongoing in a completely different dynamic, co-parenting and being best friends and watching each other with new partners. And again, that's just as much his story as it is mine. And eventually one day I hope that we talk about it, but I'm talking predominantly about what has happened, I guess, before my marriage and then since my divorce. You know, I think about all the crazy fun things that I did, you know, for the plot, for the story, for the podcast. And I look back at it now and I just realize that I was so shut off and broken in ways, and not really knowing what I was looking for, but looking for it. And then I got a taste of it with this guy and I thought, oh, maybe. And actually that was stupidly, because he pursued me and I thought, oh yeah, maybe this is what it feels like to have someone that wants something more than me just being a mirror and that dream girl. And yeah, my God, which I say that as if I'm saying I don't like that side of myself. I love that side of myself. But I cannot believe how different I feel midway through February 2025 to where I was, let's even say New Year's Eve 2024, to even where I was the end of 2023. It is moving at a pace, I guess my self-awareness and my healing is moving at a pace where I'm viewing things and seeing things much faster and being honest with myself and having restraint and trying to ensure that me coming on too strong or trying to solve problems or trying to save someone or trying to get overly involved in their life, that's not being loved or desired. That's me pushing my energy outward. That's me kind of going, you know, please love me, please see me, please fulfill whatever this is that I have inside me that just feels empty. but because I'm so shut down, it's just fun. And you're thinking, where on earth is all this rambling going? Well, it's been a month now with Russell. It's been a week since we did that podcast together. And I'm finding it really overwhelming. I'm finding it overwhelming because it's calm and it's easy and we are incredibly similar. That our brains work in similar but different ways, I guess complementary ways, that we talk and talk and I don't remember the last time I spent 3 hours on the phone to anyone, let alone a man, talking I don't know about what, but time flies. I don't think I've ever had someone romantically when it's like, hey, okay, this is, you know, what I'm going to do and how does that suit you? Yep, all good. I don't remember a time ever in my life where it has been this easy. And I haven't tried to take control or push it to be something it isn't or expect expectations. I truly don't expect anything. But now what's happening is it's almost like I've gone the other way, like it's too good to be true. But maybe isn't that the whole point? Maybe I've done my 38 years of hard work. Maybe I had this marriage that was, to me, an incredible success, even though we're no longer together. We learned so much. So much. And even post divorce, being able to talk to each other and learn from our marriage. I now find myself with a man that if I have a thought, even if I'm working through it at the time, it's just, oh yeah, no, I get that. That sounds reasonable. I mean, it's very rare that I'm at a loss for words, but maybe this is what they meant when they said, when it's right, it just fits. To say that we have things in common would be the understatement of the century. It's down to very strange details, down to things that our kids do or that we've experienced or our reactions to things. I mean, I actually said today, do you think we're too similar? Is that a thing? Is it the ultimate act of narcissism to just find the person that you're so similar to? But then I think I've done the opposite, and the opposite didn't work at all. I know they say that opposites attract, but I don't want to be in a relationship. I don't want to have a future where I'm constantly fighting myself, because at the end of the day, that's what I was doing. I was trying to turn Matthew into something that he was never going to be. And I think I've done that to a couple of men since then and thought that me being so open and honest and hyper and approachable would work, when really that is probably a form of self-sabotage. Putting it out there so quickly that it just is overwhelming to the senses. And so now I find myself in a state of overwhelm, of this has happened so quickly and so easily, and there is business and sex and children and life and family and dynamics and exes, and it's all intertwined, but not one part of it feels insurmountable. And I think that scares me. Jesus, even as I say that, it just sort of hits. And I think we've probably all experienced that at some point. What happens when you meet the person that makes you feel fulfilled and calm and safe? And then my brain goes, well, what happens if that goes away? And that's not a lot of, it's not pressure that I'm putting externally. I think it's pressure that I'm putting on myself because I know I'm holding back. But I'm still being myself. I don't quite know if that makes sense. I'm just trying to take it as it comes and just communicate instead of letting something fester. It's like, hey, I've been thinking, you know, maybe we should try and make sure that we're focusing on this and this, and to have someone say, yeah, that's completely reasonable. And I know a lot of people who know me listening to this will be laughing, going, Jess, reasonable? I know, I don't. I'm not usually the reasonable one, let me tell you. And I don't even really know what this is other than just a raw conveying of how I feel, and I think it's tapping into that, holy shit, am I actually worth this? Could this actually, and it's interesting because it's almost so easy that I don't have time to pause and reflect that much because it's always on the move and it's evolving and it's changing and it's growing and I'm learning things about myself. I'm learning things about business. I'm learning that I didn't even know that I could do things in business, and I'm kind of good at it. And I'm learning and discovering a lot of myself from meeting this person, from meeting Russell. And that's wild. Because I've always left the people that I've been with. You know, I've always focused on them. And their journey and making sure that they learn something or get something, however you want to say it. And to meet someone who actually makes you feel inspired, is that a really kind of naff thing to say? And it's not even, I mean, you go through it all now and it's about masculine energy and feminine energy and 50-50 and don't text first, don't double text. Is he interested? Is he not? What are the signs? Is she playing games? All of that. None of that is present. None of it. I don't have to overthink it. It just happens. And I find, I wonder if I'm trying to find problems. If I'm looking for it. If I'm looking for the, oh yeah, that sounds about right. You know, that too good to be true. But we're all human, so there is no such thing as too good to be true. I can't hold anybody to a standard that is higher than I would hold myself. And I don't always make the right decisions, clearly. I just know probably for the first time in my 38 years, I don't want to be the one to fuck this up. I really don't. I have no idea where it's going. Still. I mean, it's only been a week, but I mean, a week since the podcast that we talked about. I have no idea. But I get these moments of thinking, shit,
I really like this situation. I really like what's going on. You know, there are those moments of stillness or those moments of connection and in amongst the chaos that is life. And, you know, I just don't want to be the one to fuck it up. And usually by now I'm thinking insane thoughts. But I'm not. You know, I think about how quick my marriage was. I think about how quick other relationships have been, other connections. And they burn out just as quick. My marriage didn't, but that's different. And I think that we are all looking for that person that can make us feel fulfilled, who can quieten or dampen, maybe not silence, the voices that shout down in our heads, all of the not being good enough and when's the other shoe going to drop, and owning that if I'm feeling that way, it's because of me. It's actually nothing that he's done. It's my own internal bullshit. And I've been able to keep a much closer eye on that this time because there's no other noise. But I hate that feeling. I just hate that dread that I'm trying to shift, that I'm trying to say, whatever happens, happens. I really don't have control over this. It was universal the way that it's happened. It's been universal the way that it's unfolded. You know, all I can do is communicate and be clear and hope that this doesn't kill me, I guess. Which it won't. But I guess what's the alternative is that it works out. What the fuck happens then? Is that scarier? Constantly not getting what you wanted or getting what you wanted? And I don't even mean getting what you want and then it disappearing. I mean just getting what you want. Because I've always felt that I've been almost. You know, I could almost get it. I could get close to it. But I think I need to look at the failures that I've kind of racked up in the dating arena, not as failures, as experience that's led me here. Experience that's making me slow down, breathe, take it one step at a time, feel inspired, be creative, do my own thing, challenge what I think a relationship should look like. Because I'm still not sure what's going to work for me. I don't know if tradition works. I don't think that it does. And I know a lot of people are going to have a lot of comments on that. I don't know what I would call it. It's just about being chosen and making that choice with someone and saying, no matter what, we are going to do this together and nothing else really matters. Aside, obviously, from, you know, the kids and life and family. I don't mean it like that. I just mean we can make it through anything. I don't know, you're going off, says the woman who got divorced. Well, when you get together as young as we did in circumstances in which we did, and then you grow, and then you realize that you've grown so far apart and so much has happened that I liken it to leaving a party before you have that last drink and get totally written off. It's like, we need to leave the party now, because if we're ever going to be able to co-parent and be friends, we have to leave before this completely blows out of proportion. And that's what we did. And that's where we've ended up. And I guess I'm taking that attitude into this thing with Russell, where it's not, oh, you know, leave the party before it gets. I don't mean it like that. I just mean what works for the both of us. And that's a skill that I only picked up at the end of my marriage. It was far, far too late by the end. And I was a really shit wife the first part of our marriage. And I was horrible, you know, expecting him to be something that he wasn't and then punishing him when he didn't live up to the expectations that I had. That's a terrible way to be. And I still remember the day very clearly when I apologized to him. I said, I've been a bitch to you. And I'm so sorry. And I said, I'm going to take my foot off the accelerator and I'm going to let this breathe. And I'm going to let you breathe. And I'm going to let you become the man that you need to be. And that's exactly who he is now. That is exactly who he is now. And so I see this new connection with Russell, and I think the same thing. I don't need to control. I don't need to. For once in my life, I'm letting someone show me who they are. I'm not trying to turn them into what I think our relationship should be. Shit, that's profound. Good Lord. Okay, so, and as we said in the last podcast, no expectations doesn't mean low standards. It's not at all what this is. It's no expectations means show up, show me who you are. And for once in my life, does that work for me? Am I listening to everything and seeing everything that he's saying and doing? Does this work for me? Not just, oh, does he like me? No, that's not what this is about. This is about whether it works not only for me, but for my children, for his child, for him, for the other adults that are involved. And it's an interesting type of control to have when you can talk yourself back from being an absolute Fruit Loop and being an idiot and battling the thoughts in your head and being able to sit with it, process it, and not act on it straight away, because I am the queen of overreacting and acting on something. In some circumstances, it's fine, but I'm really trying to not do that in connection, even with friends. Sort of, let them. Everybody has life. Everybody has struggles. Everybody has baggage, especially at this age that we're at. God, I'm 39 soon. I'm really trying to hold myself accountable every step of the way with this relationship. And make sure that it's balanced, that as much as I'm putting in on every level, it doesn't necessarily have to be matched. It just has to be balanced. You know, it's never going to be 50-50. It's never that way, hardly ever. I don't know, it's like, oh, but it's the beginning of a relationship. Yeah, but when you're 42 and 38, who the hell has time to not show real life? Who has that time? I don't have that time. I'm doing a podcast at almost 1:30 in the morning because I don't have that time. You know, if we're all realistic, a lot of the expectations that we put on lovers is because of something that we haven't healed in ourselves. And it's so important to continue to work on ourselves and to be as self-aware as possible and to be as honest as possible, even if it's brutal. So we let the right people in. Or we get rid of the ones that didn't work. And I have asked myself, you know, oh, you know, do you think I'll ever hear from so-and-so again? And as I'm sitting here, I think, why? Why do I need, and it's not for closure, it's that ego of what, knowing that I still have pull over somebody? I don't care about that. I only have an interest in what's real. Now, anyway. I only have an interest in what's real. And what makes me feel calm and what helps me sleep at night. And, you know, there are a lot of people that talk about, they meet someone and they say, oh, they make me want to be a better person. And I'm not necessarily saying that's what's happening with Russell, but it is definitely bringing out a side of me that I didn't realize was there. A very calm, mature, open, non-hyper, non-hypo, perhaps not looking through the world with a trauma lens anymore. I mean, I still am at times, but it is a struggle. I'm smiling as I say this. It's a struggle when they don't want us, and it's a struggle when it's easy. I mean, how do we win, right? But I just thought maybe someone would feel the same way. Maybe in this incoherent rambling of self-awareness and dating and journeys, that someone might find it useful. Or they might agree, or they might disagree, who knows. I found this, I love the TikTok. Who doesn't love the TikTok? I found this great thing. It says, the rise of a woman. I wish I could see all the versions of myself that I once was lined up against the wall. I would walk over to every single one of them and thank them for not giving up when I knew they wanted to. And I think as women, we can all relate to that. Probably as humans, we can all relate to that. But definitely as women, we can relate to that. Because there are so many times that I have just wanted to just say, fuck it, I can't anymore. And you pick yourself up and you keep going. And you realize that our weaknesses are actually our strengths. And sometimes the only person who is actually going to save us is ourselves. And the only person that can make those changes is us. And then one day you're on a dating app and you meet someone who makes you feel more like yourself than you've ever felt in your life. So there you go. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.